Now I'm going to share a presentation of some approaches we've tried in Massachusetts, but also they're suggestive of what can be done at a state level, and we'll be hearing from other officials as well on this particular issue, and I'm going to go quickly through a PowerPoint. But I want to start by saying why I would make the case that health equity needs to be a top public health priority for all of us. The first is that data clearly indicate there are serious disparities that exist and that they're based in social, what we would refer to as social determinants of health. So the data are clear. The second is the degree to which public health has responded to these issues is uneven. It's not consistently a priority, and we can do more to make it a priority. And the third bullet is there are clear and positive outcomes that have already occurred when people have applied when people have made it a commitment to work on this issue, even when resources are limited, even when resources are shrinking, we can do a lot on this issue and we can do a lot to improve the situation. And why is it a priority? Well, the data do speak very clearly to this. This is just, we could do the whole afternoon to showing data. This is one example. It's diabetes in Massachusetts, where you're 2.5 times as likely to have diabetes if you're Black or Latino in Massachusetts. And that even in those areas where you wouldn't think that there would be disparity, there are disparities. These are cases of H1N1, where we see a higher percentage of H1N1 cases in communities of color than they're represented in the general population. Wouldn't expect that for something that's an infectious disease. There are other social determinants of health beyond those related to race and ethnicity, and we need to be mindful of those as well. And they include disparities related to income. This chart, for example, just illustrates with less resources, healthcare becomes more difficult to access. In Massachusetts, after healthcare reform, fully 86% of the uninsured, the remaining 3% who are uninsured, say in the last year they needed healthcare and money was an obstacle to their being able to get it, whereas people with health insurance, 37%. So income is an issue, and that's illustrated in the next slide as well, which showed that looks at poverty in relationship to diabetes and the shocking indicator that three times more likely to be diagnosed with diabetes if your income is less than $25,000 a year when compared with people whose income is $75,000 or more a year. So a very strong correlation to diabetes and income. Education too, this chart just looks at the prevalence of serious mental health illness based upon educational level and shows much higher levels for those who did not finish high school relative to those who had higher level of education. You have within your states and your cities sometimes sources of data that are different than the ones I've shown, which you may be more familiar with. This, for example, is work that was done in our occupational surveillance unit, where they looked at some of the social determinants of health are related to the most common jobs by race and ethnicity. This is from the census data, and you see these list in order the most common jobs by race and ethnicity in Massachusetts. Clearly, the kind of job you have has an impact on your health for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that some jobs have higher risks. This looks at the higher percent, the higher rate of deaths among Hispanic workers on the job when compared with white workers. So this is to suggest a lot of data. It's worth being familiar with that data and looking at it comprehensively. There are things that can be done. I'll share with you those things that can be done with a minimum of resources. Special reports can be put out. This is a report we put out in Massachusetts with data we had for years. We compiled that data, which showed the racial and ethnic disparities in on HIV. We put it out with a new cover, called it a new report. It was front page in the newspapers, and we got $500,000 in new funding from the legislature by making the case this needed our attention. So focusing on the issues, even if you know they exist, focusing on them with a report or an announcement makes a big difference. The bully pulpit matters a lot, particularly for health departments and for policy officials. In the federal government, terrific guidelines have been developed in culturally and linguistically appropriate services, or the CLASS standards, and these, we all should be familiar with these and using these. We now require them as a condition for funding from our health department. You must be in compliance with the federal CLASS standards. If you don't know about them, Google it. Whenever possible, we think we should be providing specialized services which target the promotion of health equity. And there aren't often line items that specialize in that, so we have to be creative in thinking about how to pull money from different sources in order to ensure that we're focusing resources whenever possible, and there's some creative ways to do that. Some easy things to do are to take advantage of resources that exist. The brilliant WGBH Unnatural Causes, or NPR Unnatural Causes series is available and affordable. People across the country have done community forums where they've shown the first 45 minutes and done panels where local community members have spoken about the issue and related it to local conditions, a way of drawing attention to how these issues affect us all. And developing targeted campaigns. We have to move away very often from population-wide campaigns to ones that recognize that there are populations that are bear an unfair burden of illness or premature death, and if we're focusing attention in particular areas, we should be driven by the data and that information to do campaigns that target those populations. We know that targeted populations are much more likely to be affected. Some campaigns, by their nature, have an impact on affecting the social determinants of health and the issue of health equity. I would argue that the Affordable Care Act's provision that chain restaurants and fast food restaurants have to have calorie labeling, which will hopefully be implemented in 2011 across the country, will have an enormous impact disproportionately on those communities where we need to focus most on health equity. Because who's eating disproportionately in fast food restaurants? It's low-income people and it's populations of color. So this by itself, I think, I view as a campaign that we can work on that's related to health equity. Mark Horton, the great public health leader from California, is here, and California has done a lot of work on this issue that's shown the relationship of fast food restaurants and where they're placed to in low-income communities and the impact that has on the access to healthy foods versus less healthy foods. The Centers for Disease Control will soon be releasing funding that's known as community transformation grants. These grants are intended to change the conditions in communities so that the healthier behavior is the easier behavior. We in Massachusetts and in other states have done miniature versions of this effort where we give money to mayors to change policies on the foods that are served in schools, the zoning incentives to get fresh fruits and vegetables into lower income neighborhoods, the focus on making parks safe where violence prevention is attended to. If we focus on those issues, it's easier for communities to do the healthy activities. We can't rely on simply telling people. We have to create the conditions in the community that make it a natural behavior. And I would also say the Affordable Care Act, working on its successful implementation, is a key effort, as Dr. Coe said, in terms of working on health equity. The fact that there is, even in Massachusetts, after health reform, great inequity in terms of some groups' access to health care. We're still seeing the Latino population having a much higher percentage of uninsurance than others. I would just close by saying some other areas of health disparities where we need to be focused as well are on thinking of the correlation, on the health issues associated with being disabled, that aren't about the disability, but about the correlation that we found of higher disease among people with disabilities that often gets overlooked, higher overweight, diabetes, mental illness, domestic violence. As we've looked at those corollaries to disabilities, we know we need to focus on that population in terms of health equity. And on sexual orientation, the same is true. This focuses on HIV, but we've looked across a wide range of indicators and seen that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people have a range of different issues where there are disparities. And there are disparities, frankly, by the kind of jobs that people hold. No jobs more unsafe, for example, than military jobs. We have, just in Massachusetts alone, 53,000 veterans who have disabilities that are related to their service in the military. We have higher, much higher smoking rates and suicide rates among veterans, and therefore focusing the attention on that population as a population where health equity is needed makes sense as well. And of course, there are many populations that have over a number of different arenas of disparities where we need to focus on the cumulative effect that that can have on populations. Many of the individuals in communities of color, for example, are disproportionately likely to be affected by income, by disability, by jobs that are unsafe, et cetera. And so we need to think across the range of different issues. So that may present some spectrum of some of the issues that I think we're going to be focusing on with the other speakers. Moving right into those other speakers, I am delighted to be introducing the official on my left, who is Mirta Beadle. Ms. Beadle is the Deputy Director of the Office of Minority Health. She's the Principal Advisor to the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Minority Health, and therefore she has been actively involved in the planning, developing, and implementing of policies that address the issues affecting populations of color within this country. She's done outstanding and groundbreaking work, including the development of a new and significant national plan for action, which will be rolled out soon, and therefore it's my pleasure to introduce Mirta Beadle.